Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triple Jump Podcast. It's a video game podcast. My name's Ben.
My name's Peter.
Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, Ben.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Bit peckish.
Are you?
Bit peckish, yeah. Oh. Yeah. Not had my Brackhams today.
Oh, no. Well, I wish there was something we could do.
Well, but there's nothing we can do because we need to record this podcast, so let's do that. Unless perhaps... today's sponsor for the podcast, we have a sponsor every single week. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a food-based one and they've sent some free samples and you can just sort of pass some of those over to my desk virtually because we're recording from opposite sides of the city.
It's not.
Don't disappoint me.
I think we still have some PlayStation Chive left over if you want some.
Yeah, okay. That's all right with me. I'll have it with some mashed bamboo shoots.
Yes, delicious. It's in the other. I mean, you've got the What was it? Bamboo shoots. You've got the bamboo shoots there. I think the chive is in the office still.
Oh well, okay.
You'll have to bear with. Yes, as Peter said, we are sponsored this week. Would you like to hear the ad read?
I would definitely.
This week we are sponsored by. Well, you've heard of. Phasmophobia, the new spooky sort of ghost hunting co-op game that's taking the internet by storm. Now, get ready for Plasmophobia. Yeah, it's a new game, and you play as someone who is plasmophobic, and I have not Googled that to see if that's a real thing, and if it is, I sincerely apologize, but I have co-opted... that potentially very real and upsetting ailment as a sort of a comical device to help me with this pun.
Sure.
Where you're not a ghost hunter. You're someone who takes blood for a living, you know, not a vampire. Mm. It's not Halloween yet. And basically it's co-op and you all spend most of the time completing QTEs, you know, pressing the buttons that pop up on screen so as not to get freaked out by the fact that there's so much plasma in you as well as a person.
Oh,
and if you fail, you're running around and you're all screaming because, oh no, I'm full of plasma, the very thing that I fear.
That's, yeah, true. Do you think people who are scared of blood don't like to think about the fact that there's loads of it coursing through their veins at any one time?
I'm just going to Google plasmophobia because I don't want to plasma.
I think it's a fear of TV screens from the mid 2010s.
Oh, yeah, they were short lived, weren't they?
Mm.
Show me plasmophobia. No, it doesn't appear. It does not appear to be a thing.
Right.
Oh God, is it already a game? Plasmophobia. Hang on. No, it's just auto-correcting me constantly. It's showing me results for phasmophobia and people who've misspelled phasmophobia, I think.
Okay.
There's a video here that says plasmophobia, but there's 100 players. obviously they mean Phasmophobia. I think we're in the clear. I think we're in the clear. That was probably one of the better ad reads I've done, and you can all tell that it's real, right?
Mm. It's definitely real. Oh, yeah.
It's a real
well
one.
Well done for reading that ad.
Expertly delivered, sort of fell over myself at the end there because I was desperate to not be controversial, potentially, without meaning to be.
Well, how can you be controversial if you're just reading the name of a real company? It's not your fault they've called themselves that, is it?
Well, even so, but I wouldn't read an ad willingly for the Kick Dogs Society.
Yeah.
So I have a portion of responsibility on my shoulders as well. But no, Plasmophobia, real video game, run around scared of the blood that's inside you that you can't, you know, that's the worst kind, the secret blood that you haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
Could be lurking behind every single cell in your body.
I like how it's specifically a fear of the plasma within your blood, because surely there is already, it's like probably hemophobic or something is the actual term for fear of blood. But it's not just a general fear of blood.
No,
it's a fear of a specific component thereof.
Yep. Blood plasma.
You can be like platelet phobic, white blood cell phobic, plasma phobic. Mm-hmm. You know, they're all different. Iron phobic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Have you got any more bits of blood for me?
Red blood cell.
Red
blood cell phobic.
Good one. Yeah. What about blood phobic?
Hemoglobic
is good too. Mm. Anyway, we don't know what we're talking about. That ad was actually real. It's a true one. It's the first real one we've ever had.
Definitely, yeah.
It's true. No, it's not. It's a load of codswallop, quite frankly. We are, of course, sponsored by our wonderful patrons over at patreon.com/team-triple-jump, where for as little as $1 per month, you can support us. We have other tiers available. We would love it if you'd consider them. We'll tell you all about what you can get towards the end of the show. But for $1, you get access to the question post, where you can ask questions that can be featured on this podcast.
It's a video game podcast. Don't forget that.
Yeah.
I know we're like 5 minutes in and we've just talked about blood, but yeah.
That's it. This is what you could support with your actual money.
I've got a question for you there, Ben. I'm not a patron, but I get to ask them for free.
Yeah.
Where are we walking today?
Today we are walking on sunshine.
Whoa.
No, we're not walking. James, we're not walking on sunshine. We are walking on maybe through a spooky ghost house.
Okay.
Just slowly through a spooky room. You know, it doesn't need to be spooky things in it. It's just got to look a bit spooky.
Like it. Context for those who are just listening to the audio version of this podcast. It's available on YouTube. And as the video component, we just have a little PNG of Ben and I walking across a different scene every single week.
Yeah, we used to do it. You remember when we did it in remember when we got that? Hey, do you remember when we got that brand new bespoke podcasting studio at the start of the year and it looked fantastic?
And we did maybe 2 episodes there.
Yeah, I think we did 2. And I think in one of them we said, hey, be careful with this COVID stuff.
But don't worry too much.
Don't worry too much because the news tends to blow a lot of things out of proportion. Just be safe and sensible and listen to government advice or something. Mm. And then the very, you know, next week's like, right, we're all working from home now. Never see you again. See you later.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember we will get to the video games one day.
No, this is too much fun.
I remember walking to work with you, I think in January last year, or this year, I should say. And we were sort of, I think it was the first time we'd seen each other since we'd been off for Christmas, and we were sort of doing a bit of a debrief and a catch up with each other and chatting current affairs. And I think you made some remark about like, oh, and then there's that like virus thing happening, isn't there, that's in the news over in, I think it's like in China or somewhere. And I was like, oh yeah, I feel like I've kind of heard about that. And then here we are now, you know? It's so strange to think of that conversation where I was like, oh, yeah, I saw a couple of the...
Yeah, vaguely.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, like a lot of people, I think, and again, we will get to the video games soon. As long as we preface every new tangent with that, then we can just go forever. I think as with a lot of people, you know, it's not that we weren't necessarily taking it seriously. It's that we've heard for years, swine flu, avian flu.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the next big thing, which is why we were urging caution by listening to news outlets going, oh, my God. But, you know, government advice is government advice.
I think what we were saying was like, let's listen. At the time, you know, I think the government advice even then was like, you know, it wasn't, they weren't,
everything's
they weren't going
fine.
Crazy. Yeah, it was
go
kind of
work.
Everything's fine. It was only the press that was saying, everything's going terribly, buy toilet roll. So I think we were fair enough to say at that moment, like, yeah. Listen to the government, not the press. Now we're still saying that, and it's kind of the other way around to an extent, where the government, you know, saying, here are the restrictions in place, and the press are like, we're getting a bit tired of this. I want to go to Spoons again.
You can go to Spoons now, and on a Monday, they will pay you to eat there because the government says that's okay.
Yeah.
McDonald's, forget about it. You can get 6,000 chicken nuggets for 10p.
But
come
don't
out.
Go with your mum if she lives in a different house to you.
Ooh. No, no. Come out and lick the Ronald McDonald statue. Come on. Come and do it. We will get to the video games in a minute, Peter. But do you remember there was also that moment in the, which we've had tweeted to us numerous times now, in that episode of Main Menu last year where we were doing Esther Soup. And I think you said it looks like a sort of a pandemic
waiting to happen.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah.
Like some sort of virus under a microscope.
Yeah, we were pouring like mixed Italian herbs into a pan of oil, and as it sort of spread out, I was like, oh, it's like agar jelly. It's like what's it called? A Petri dish.
Mm.
It's the pandemic that, you know, that will end the world or something. And then
whoops.
You know, it happened. So
yeah. Of course, you know, this isn't undermine the fact that this is still a very serious situation
we're all in.
I know everyone is getting bloody tired and sick of it, and perhaps if some slightly more decisive action was taken, it wouldn't be so bad right now. But or at least it wouldn't still be as bad. But, you know, please wear your masks, and if you've got to go outside, please be safe. I know a lot of people have still got to go to work and, you know, work in the service industries and work on the front lines from a medical standpoint and so on.
Oh yeah, so, I mean we're being a bit, you know, being a bit silly and stuff, but let's still take the actual precautions seriously.
Let's.
We can joke at the expense of Wetherspoons and the government, but let's still wear our masks and wash our hands. Thank you very much.
Please do. And please remain safe and happy and sound out there. And just remember, there's only a month left until we're all playing with our Xboxes and our PS5s. So we can do this, guys. We nearly made it
nearly
to
there.
Another reason to stay inside.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I've got
a reason to
stay inside. That's a tangent.
Yeah.
Martina Lexi is a reason to stay inside because, Martina Lexi is just such a great person for being a patron and asking a question.
Oh, absolutely.
I think if everyone else stays inside, then Martina Lexi can go outside and do whatever she likes.
Sure.
You know?
Did you see, and we'll get to the video games in a minute,
right.
Did you see that they opened up Machu Picchu to that tourist who's been stuck there since April? Just for him, so he could go have a look around again before he leaves.
What, so... Oh, I see. No, I hadn't. No.
Yeah, yeah. Tourist got stuck in... Oh, God, I feel bad for not... Where's Machu Picchu, Peter, please?
Peru, I believe.
Peru. Yes, thank you. Oh, my God.
Oh, citation needed. It's in South America. My sister went to it when she was on a trip to Peru, but whether she had to cross a border, I don't know.
Right, I'm terribly sorry. I should know that. Anyway, he's been stuck there for a while, and the government opened it up just for him to have a look around before
lovely.
He goes home. And that's sort of the case with Martina Lexi.
Yeah, I was trying to do a tangent, and then we got off the... I mean, not a tangent, a connection.
Yeah, then we derailed.
A segue. And then we derailed from my segue, so it just sounded like I spent half a minute saying how great Martina was, despite never
having
met her.
Well, she is great, I'm sure.
She is great. And here's her great question at 10 minutes into the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, guys. New patron and happy to support you. I hope you still are after listening to this trash.
Martina.
Question. If you could take only one game to a desert island, which one would you take? Imagine you can play it despite there not being electricity. Cheers! Being on a desert island is much like being isolated within your own home in some ways, isn't it?
Yeah.
Except you have a choice of many games in your own home.
Yeah, you do, actually. It's quite nice being home.
Yeah. So really, for me... You know, some people answering this question might just jump to their favorite game and say, well, my favorite game is this, and I can kind of always play this for the end of, you know, till the end of time, so I'll take that. I refused to say Spyro or Beyond Good and Evil, well, sort of. And decided that I would either take something like Minecraft, because it's, you know, it generates an infinite world. Your only limit is sort of your imagination, especially if you choose to maybe have like a creative mode world. I would probably play in survival because it would kill more time having to like manually mine out every single material I needed. That game has in some ways infinite potential, although it is a bit lonely, that game, playing on your own. Or I would maybe play something like Skyrim or Oblivion. I prefer the aesthetic of Oblivion and the world and the music, but Skyrim, I think, still has more sort of radiant quests, and it is a deeper game, despite it being, like, the world not being as nice, I think.
Yes, so deep and yet so shallow.
Yeah. So maybe those. But then I did, at the end, I realised, hang on, I could take the Reignited trilogy and get three games. So I wouldn't take Spyro 1, which is my favourite game, because that's just a single game that I would get bored of, because there's only, you know, six worlds with, like, five levels in each or whatever. But, you know, Reignited Trilogy, that's kind of three games for your buck, so...
That's like saying your favourite Van Halen album is the best of.
Yeah, it is, isn't it, really? So it's a bit cheaty, which is why it's at the end. But those are my main thoughts. What about you?
That's a good one. So you'd take your PS4, would you?
Yes.
I think it's on Switch, actually. That would be super convenient.
Don't know how well it runs, though.
Yeah. It's all right.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, well, you're right in that I didn't give this enough thought about the hypothetical situation, that I don't know how long I'm on the desert island made out of banana and cream and all that.
Oh,
that delicious
are you
stuff.
Thinking you're just going on a nice video games retreat?
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm on a deserted island, but, you know, I can leave when I like.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Just there's nothing else there. I didn't really give it much thought. But you're right. A game like Minecraft is perfect for extended periods of... I don't know, never leaving, I suppose.
Yeah.
But I've decided to go with one perhaps a little more predictable for my tastes. I would take a Game Boy Advance SP because it has a backlight and I can play in the dark.
Yeah.
And I would take Pokemon Yellow.
You've had a lot of happy memories playing Pokemon or Game Boy on the beach, haven't you? You do it on holiday.
I do. I did it last year for my very brief sojourn to I forget the name of the place all the time. Like, I couldn't even remember it when I was there.
I do that.
It's a Spanish island. That's all you need to know, I think.
Right.
I played Pokemon Fire Red on the beach briefly. Really, actually, very unpleasant to play on the beach. Good for photos for Instagram about hey Squares. Look at my cool life. But then you get sand in your Game Boy and...
Backache if you're sitting up and neckache if you're lying down.
Yeah, there's no comfortable place. Like, I really don't understand reading on the beach. I find it incredibly uncomfortable in any position. And the same
deck chair would be okay, but...
Deck chair might be okay. Yeah, you need armrests, really. And the same goes for playing a Game Boy or a Game Boy Advance. And you know, it's so flipping bright... that even with a non-backlit screen, you can't see it because it's just, it's a mirror. And you just look at your burnt face for half an hour and then go, should we get an ice cream and a beer? And then you go back inside where the air conditioning will save you. I'd take a Game Boy Advance SP and Pokemon Yellow, which as much as I love Pokemon Blue and Red, I think I actually prefer those games. I think there's just, I've played Pokemon Yellow fewer times. I think I'm in less times. And I believe it's slightly more... It'd be slightly more interesting for me to play because, you know, you get a Pikachu following you around and you also get all the starters, which is something that I dreamed of when I had Pokemon Blue. So imagine if I could have Charizard, a Blastoise, and a Venusaur.
Yeah.
Pokemon Yellow lets you do that. So that's what I'd take.
I like it. If I was going on more of a retreat style, I think I would settle with Oblivion.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the only reason I wouldn't definitely take Oblivion to a proper, you might be here forever desert island is, as I say, it's not as deep and doesn't have as much content as Skyrim or Minecraft. But yeah, if I was just going away for a bit, I'd love to play Oblivion just for days on end without interruption.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Have you heard of the High Elves?
Yeah.
No. I really don't like Skyrim. I know I say it a lot, but I keep thinking about it, and I've seen a lot of scuttlebutt of like, oh man, I hope they, part of me hopes they release Skyrim on PS5 and Xbox Series X. I'm just like, piss off with that game. I'm so over that game. Like, I don't even know if I'd be interested in The Elder Scrolls 6 at this point. If
really?
It's more of the same. I genuinely don't know. I don't know. I was so excited for Skyrim and I loved it and I played it too much. And now I've just sort of built up this sort of ridiculous hatred of it that I can't shake.
All I really dislike about Skyrim, as I said earlier, is just the snowy, horrible, grim world, which, you know, I know is kind of part of the whole identity of Skyrim itself as a place and as a people. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to the next one when it, if it ever comes out, but because that's presumably going to be set in a slightly more engaged. Well, unless they decide to go for the flipping Argonians who live in Black Marsh or something,
Swampland.
Swampland. But
I don't know. I'm sure I will play the next one, but I love Oblivion so much for the exact reasons you described.
Yeah.
It's just so colourful and fantastical.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? And, you know, even like you get like the Minotaurs and the Unicorn and stuff like that. Like,
Unicorn.
Even Skyrim's enemies are kind of just, don't know.
Yeah.
I think everything in Skyrim either scuttles or stomps. And, whereas it's not the case in Oblivion. Things glide and float there, I think.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, we derailed slightly there, but...
Well, in a video game sense.
Yeah, at
okay.
least it's about video games. But I love Oblivion. Oh, nearly swore. Flip Skyrim.
Well, when we move on to our next section, which is called What We Play In, hopefully you're not going to say that you've been playing Skyrim, because you'd be really sad if you had to talk about it for another 5 minutes.
I'll find it. Oh, don't worry. If it involves complaining, I'll find a way.
Well, let's find out in this next section, What We Play In.
Ooh. It's What We Play In time. This is a section where we talk about what we've been enjoying on our video game devices. Peter, what have you been enjoying on your video game device?
All I've played since we last spoke is the Crash Bandicoot 4s. I don't remember where I'd got up to in the last podcast, whether I'd finished... I think I had finished the game.
I think you'd finished it,
Got the initial ending, yeah. I'm still nowhere near the true 100% and 106% ending. I think there's two different extra endings you can unlock. But I'm chipping away. I've played some of the inverted modes now. Until now, I'd only either sort of seen them on YouTube and stuff, or in the promotional material for the game. But yeah, there's some really fun ones. I told you about the one. I think it was in the Quipscope. I told you about the one where you spin paint everywhere and color in the world, which was like the Unfinished Swan. Is it called that game?
Yes.
I've never played it, but there's also one that reminded me of a very similar game to the Unfinished Swan, which when you spin, it sends out a sort of echolocation pip, and it lights up parts of the world. So you can't really see anything beyond about 6 inches either direction from your character. The world sort of pulsing in and out of darkness. But if you spin, it sort of goes bing, and like lights up, you know, stuff for several meters around you. So a really clever way of doing inverted mode. Not only do they flip the actual layout of the level, like a lot of mirror mode cheats or whatever you want to call it, filters would do in other games. But doing all these different stylistic things. There's like one where you're underwater and it actually sort of slows down the whole movement speed and dulls the sound and stuff. So that's super fun. I've also discovered, I think since we last spoke on the podcast about it, that there is a special kind of relic you can unlock called the Insanely Perfect Relic, which is... relics are traditionally associated with time trials in the Crash Bandicoot series, but in fact, this is nothing to do with a time trial. It's going through the whole level on one life, getting all of the fruit and all of the boxes, as I say, without dying, Which is crazy. So you get individual gems for doing those things separately, but you don't have to do them all in one to get the gem. But hey, if you want 106% the game, you have to insanely perfect every single level in the entire game, which is just fantastic.
Sounds great.
It's just so hard and full of stuff, this game. I will never, ever complete it. I am thinking I am just going to have to look up what the two secret endings are. Like, I don't normally like to do that. I would prefer to sort of work for it and unlock it myself, but I think it will just take me that long, even if I am actually capable of doing it, that I'll only see it spoiled on Twitter anyway if I don't hurry up. Like, people will just be saying, oh, I love how the 106% ending is Crash, he grows tentacles, and it turns out he's the villain of Crash 5.
It's Crash stood over a crude chemistry set, and he's creating COVID.
Oh my god, yeah. That's what his sister's called, isn't it? COVID Bandicoot.
COVID Bandicoot, yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So that's all I've played. I've not touched the Star Wars yet, apart from the little bit that I played for Quipscope, because partly actually because I'm currently watching Star Wars Rebels. And I believe at least one character from Star Wars Rebels appears in that game. So I think, like, while I'm playing Crash, I'm happy to hold off on Squadrons. And then when I finish watching Rebels, I'll be like, oh, it's that character from that series. Huh, there you go.
Remember Star Wars?
Yeah, I do, sort of. Just about. Well, that's me.
I sincerely hope you enjoy Star Wars when it comes time to play it.
I do, but from what little I've played, I don't know if I will that much, but... Enough, hopefully. Hopefully I'll enjoy it enough.
Hopefully the story will carry you through.
Yeah. How about you? What have you been playing?
I've been in a real slump. Like a real video game slump. In that I've just felt like I've got nothing to play, even though I've got tons of things to play. Oh. And I just, like, nothing is... You know when you get in these slumps?
It
extends to media too. I think maybe it's because I finished watching The Boys and then I got really sad because The Boys is now done for probably God knows how long, because who knows when they're going to be able to shoot again. And it was so good. And then I just like, I turn on Netflix and I watched 2 minutes of three different shows. I'm just like,
no, can't.
Like, nothing is working for me. And this was probably the worst state of mind to finally start playing Resident Evil 4.
Oh no!
I played about 45 minutes of it, and I think the game is fantastic, and I really want to experience it, but I just don't like the controls. And I know you had an issue with the controls as well on the PS4 port, and clearly it's something that...
They've changed them.
Have they?
Yeah.
Clearly it's something you can get used to. And I'm sure that I would, but I'm just in that headspace where I'm just like, I just can't do it right now. And it made me really sad because I want to stress, Peter, that I didn't dislike Resident Evil 4.
Okay.
It seems really good and I really wanted to play it, but I just couldn't be doing with those controls right at that point.
Yeah, maybe take a break and enjoy it when you're in a better state of mind. Citation needed, by the way, that they've changed the controls. But when I played it for that Rules Boss episode, it felt very, very unfamiliar. And I don't think it's just because I've not played it for a while. I think it was literally different.
It's a bit strange because the leap from Resi 4 to Resi 5, and I know Resi 5 isn't as appreciated as much, but the controls were just far more friendly. You know, they weren't tanky. And I think, you know, obviously with the likes of Resi 2 Remake, which obviously came out after this remaster appeared on current gen consoles.
Yeah.
You know, they can prove that adapting it into adapting Resident Evil to a control scheme that feels modern doesn't impact the spooks. You know, the fact that you're stuck in one place slowly twisting around to shoot people awkwardly.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to lean on that for spooks. And I'm certain that Resident Evil 4's spook factor would stand up on its own with a different control scheme. So part of me is thinking, do I wait for the inevitable remake?
I was just about to say that, because they would probably update the controls. I think the change in controls onto the port, I mean, it's always been tank controls, obviously. That kind of goes without saying. But it's just the button layout they've changed. But I think if you don't want to play with tank controls, maybe just wait.
I think I might. And I'm really looking forward to playing it. Like I have been meaning to do it for ages, and I'm sure I will really enjoy it because it's intriguing and it's ominous and spooky. And I didn't kill any cows
in
my time with it. I was very well behaved. I did shoot.
Did you free
some boys.
The dog?
No, because of the rules boss we did. I know he bites you, so I kicked him free.
Wait, what?
Gave him a little poke. With
you
the...
kicked him free. You didn't release him from the trap. He doesn't bite you if you release him.
I thought he bit you.
No.
Oh,
if
no.
I think if you attack him free, he won't help you later.
Oh, no. What have I done, Peter?
I mean, he might do. Maybe it's only if you just leave him in the trap that he won't help you later. Because, like, if you hit him, he still comes out of the trap, doesn't he? But,
Oh, you know what I'm confusing it for?
What?
The first episode of The Walking Dead Season 2.
Right.
Where Clementine can help a dog out, and you help the dog out of the trap, and then it bites you.
Yeah, because that's what would happen in real life.
Yeah, it is. It is. So I think I confused the two. I was like, ha, stupid dog. You're not going to fool me. And well, I stabbed the dog.
Yeah, if you stabbed him free, he might still help you later on, because at least you didn't leave him in the trap. But I don't know. No. He might not like the fact that you stabbed him.
Oh, no. What have I done?
I don't know.
I can't go back. I can't go back. I'm just going to have to wait for the remake now.
It's only a very minor thing. All he does is, like, he distracts an enemy at one point, but you can still defeat the enemy without him.
I don't know. I don't fancy my chances at this point. But Resi 4, I anticipate the inevitable remake very much. And at some point I will attempt to go back to it. While I was, you know, putting that down and thinking, oh, God, I still want something to play. Like, I feel like I need something to sort of lose myself in. And I downloaded Mass Effect Andromeda.
Oh, okay.
Which, I'm a big Mass Effect fan. Obviously, that game, not so great. But at the very least, it might be stable now. And I could get lost in a competent sci-fi, you know, RPG that's in a world that I know and love.
Yeah.
And I got it downloading that night. And then the next night I went to play it, and it was about 10% through a 40 gigabyte patch or something. I was like, okay. And then last night was my first opportunity to play it, and I didn't. So that's the story with Mass Effect Andromeda. What are we not playing? So maybe I'll play some more of that, or some of it, next time. Because I'm not going to lie, when we did that Worst Games Ever episode on it in 2018, I was watching it like, yeah, oh, it's so stupid. And just thinking, I really want to play this. I really want to go home and play this, actually. But then, you know, Spider-Man came out and there's just no time. And God of War, and it's just no time for that. But I have actually, very quickly, I've been watching High Score on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a documentary series looking at various video game things from the 70s through to the 90s. It seems to have a very similar style of presentation to The Toys That Made Us, which is another really good show on there. And I don't know if it's the same people, but it's really good and I really like it. That's sort of been something that I've actually been able to lose myself in a bit instead. But if you're looking for a video game related series to watch and you have Netflix, High Score, very recommended. I like it a lot.
Ah, okay, good. Let's move on to question two.
Yeah.
Who's this from and what do they say, Ben?
It's from Duncan Wilson. And he says, "Hi, Gentle Ben and Blue Peter." That's good. Have you had that one before?
Blue Peter.
Yeah.
Maybe like at school, someone might have called me Blue Peter one day. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We'll add that one to the bank. I just bought Pokemon Yellow for my 3DS and loved the glitch sample of Pikachu at the start. Made me feel nostalgic for the Ghostbusters game intro for the Specky, which I'm assuming is the ZX Spectrum. Are you familiar with the Pikachu noise at the start? That's the one. That's it. Yeah. Bang on. What's your favourite rubbish sound samples on games from your childhood, and did you ever do impressions of them?
I love this question.
Duncan. Yeah, it's great.
Thank you, Duncan. Yeah. I used to play Gauntlet Legends on PS1, which was the worst port of the three builds of it. It was also on Dreamcast and N64. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the sound quality was as bad on the other two ports, but it was certainly bad on PS1. And the the sort of the game as you played, it's like a hack and slash thing. And as you play, you can kind of hear the sort of narrator of the story, who's called the Summoner and hangs out in the warp room. He kind of like talks about stuff in the first few levels to kind of guide you through while you're playing. And if you pick up in that game, you can just collect keys, and they're just generic keys that like work in everything. So you like use them in chests or doorways or anything. And when the Summoner speaks, he's got this really, really, really echoey voice, on top of the fact that it's just a fairly poor sound capture or compression. So you pick up a key in like the first level, and he goes, "Use keys to open doors and chests," which is use keys to open doors and chests, but with like he's doing it in a cathedral.
And what was that on? Sorry,
Gauntlet Legends on PS1.
PS1, okay.
Yeah. But then also last night, we read these questions ahead of time and make a few notums. Last night I was rediscovering a game that I had on PC as a boy. And I learned, actually, while I was reading up on this game, that it was the first ever game to be distributed on CD-ROM, would you believe? It was called The Manhole.
You tweet Boof about this.
Yeah. I didn't have the 1988 version, which was the first build of it. I had, like, the 1995 version, which was a bit better. Wow, that had some really low quality audio at times. It was just a sort of exploration game. There's no real goal. There's just a sort of whimsical world that you go around and you know, you just click on things and it plays music and stuff to you. But there's one bit where it's got some links to Alice in Wonderland. So you like shrink and grow and eat mushrooms and stuff. Mm-hmm. And there's a white rabbit that you follow around at times. And you can go into the white rabbit's house. He lives inside a fire hydrant. And when you go into his living room, he says, "Could I interest you in a hot cup of tea?" And you can click a little nodding face to say yes, please, or a little shaking face to say no, thank you. And if you click the nodding face, it goes, "Yes, please."
Oh, God.
It's just really buzzy. It's not that the voice actor had a lisp, it's just the way it's been captured.
That's horrible.
But there's loads. There's all kinds of... There's a walrus in that game.
Is there?
Who's deliberately voiced in a kind of grumpy way. Uh-huh. If you walk into his house, he goes, "Oh, bother. Company again."
Oh, my God. It's Eeyore.
Yeah, really rude. But, I mean, that's not a bad sound sample. That's just a voice actor performance. But yeah, those two games came to mind. I'm sure there were others too.
Yeah, I was really racking my brains my multiple brains that I have in my brain, in my brain hole, and I was struggling to think of one. I've since thought of two while you've been speaking, but the noise that I was thinking of from a game that I've got here is, and it's not a voice sample, and I suppose it doesn't really fit the definition of rubbish sound samples, because it's a very iconic noise, but it's a noise from a childhood game that has stuck with me, that I don't know that it's used at any other point in the game, but on the main menu of Final Fantasy VII, I think when you click new game, and once you load a game and you select it, and it's basically it loads into your game, it makes a bring noise like that.
Oh yeah.
And it's just a very, I don't know, it's just a very nostalgic sound, and it's only used on that main menu, I think. I don't think it's anywhere else in the game, but it's just that noise is just stuck with me for years. And it's the same with the Spyro noise, the ding 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 when you're navigating the menu.
Oh yeah, yeah,
bring noise. You know, and it sounds slightly distorted. I love it. I love that. The two I've thought of is one in RuneScape, when you hit like a goblin and it goes wee like that.
Yeah,
you know, when you're fighting and you're either doing zero damage or one damage because you're rubbish at the game, and when you make contact it goes weep, and when it dies it goes meow like that.
Yeah, there were some good ones on RuneScape, actually,
some really good noises. And the other one is, of course, Star Wars Dark Forces for the PC/PS1,
Monster in the pit.
The monster in the pit, exactly. So I probably told this anecdote on the podcast before, but basically when I was a child, my dad used to play Dark Forces and I used to watch him sometimes, and then I tried playing it myself. And when you fall off, ledges to your death, there's this noise that plays. And it's, is it Cal? Cal Kestis? Is that the main character? No, that's the bad one.
No, that's the guy from, yeah, you're thinking of Carl Katarn.
Carl Katarn, that's him. God, Star Wars names are good, aren't they?
Yeah.
So yeah, Jeff Jeremy from Dark Forces, when he falls off ledges, that's just the noise that he makes. It's his death noise. Yeah. Now, to me, that sounded so otherworldly that I thought I wasn't dying. It didn't occur to me that it was falling to my death and gravity that was killing me. That, to me, I thought, that's the sound of a monster that's killing me. That's not a human noise. That's a monster noise. And so me and my cousin used to just leap off. We spent a good afternoon just leaping off ledges and like rapidly firing in all directions to try and kill this monster before it killed us.
Mm.
And every time it was just this noise. Awful.
I love that video game logic you have as a child, that you genuinely think that part of the design of the game involves having to leap off a cliff backwards and fire in all directions to kill the monster. And if you hit it, then you're going to land in like a new part of the level and continue.
Maybe.
You know?
I didn't even think I thought that far ahead. It was just, that's a monster and we should be able to kill it. I mean, you go into little swampy trash areas and there's stuff lurking in the water that pokes its head out. So why would that, I don't know, why would that be any different?
It's reminded me of a story that I think I will also have told in on the podcast or in a video at some point, where in Tombi 2, there's this line of dialogue that I genuinely believe that what happened was they lost a single line of dialogue from the recording session, and the voice actor had then been flown back to LA or whatever, and they were like, oh, what are we going to do? And they got someone to just like sort of try and do an impression of the voice actor for this one line retake. So there's this character called Zippo who, he kind of talks like this. He's kind of happy-go-lucky and he's, hey, Tombi, how's it going? And then there's this one line where there's this character whose name is Gran. I don't know why he's called Gran, because he's this big beefy miner. But anyway, he's about to leave the air, like leave the room, and Zippo, who talks like this, suddenly goes, "Thanks for all your help, Gran," out of nowhere, and that's the only line in the entire game in which he talks like that. So strange.
Jesus.
So strange.
That sounds a lot like WWE 2K19, where for some reason they couldn't get John Cena. And they just got a guy to do a voice. Like, it's physically, it's John Cena, you know, presumably not mo-capped, but certainly it's his likeness.
Yeah.
And it's not John Cena's voice. And it's the strangest, most jarring thing I've ever seen. I can't believe they did it. I just,
so
it boggles the mind. Terrible. Anyway, that's what we're playing. No, that's not it. That's that question answered, I suppose. It's time for another section, Peter.
Some weird things we just talked about there.
Yeah, time for some more, I think.
Those were weird olds from back in the day, but weird things are happening all the time.
What if we had some weird currents?
Yeah, I think that's what we should call the next section.
Like raisins, you know?
Yeah.
You ready?
I'm ready.
It's weird news time!
Weird news!
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Weird news time. Welcome to Weird News. Peter, what's your weird video game news for me this week?
I've got some weird video game news where an insensitive thing has happened. So let's proceed with caution.
Okay.
This is weird and amusing that this, like, that anyone thought this was ever okay, but also, wow, really? Like,
oh, okay.
It's only so amusing. Twitch, this is according to pinknews.co.uk, written by Lily Wakefield. Headline, Twitch said that the G in LGBT+, quote, also stands for gamer.
Oh, good. That's excellent.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you can imagine just how well that went, continues the headline. So it reads, Twitch is facing backlash on social media after saying that the G in LGBT+ stands for gamer. The live streaming gaming platform put out a video on Twitter this week celebrating LGBT+ content creators. Hang on, how old is this? Oh, this is from July 2020, actually. This isn't so new.
Oh, wow. Okay, so it's slightly used.
Yeah, it is. I didn't even think to check, because the only reason I saw this story is it was... a screenshot of it was posted on Reddit like the other day, so I just assumed it was like new, but it's like a Pride thing, that's why they were posting it, so it's from July, but in any case, mm-hmm. It still happened and it's resurfaced on the internet, so here we will continue. They posted something, a video on Twitter this week celebrating LGBT plus content creators and to encourage users to stream with pride. That's pride with an uppercase P. But one element of the video did not go down so well. Twitch content creator and ambassador Spoffy responded to the video, I don't in any way, shape or form want to take anything away from the amazing humans in this video. The clips are wonderful, but can we remove this part? She posted a screenshot of the video, which read, when the G in LGBTQIA+ also stands for gamer. LGBT+ Twitch creator Brandon also called out the platform, adding, people are already confused about what each letter means. Twitch later backpedaled and deleted the video, reposting it without the controversial slogan, but the platform did not publicly address the issue, and gamers on Twitter continue to speak out against the video. I see Twitch backpedaled on that. The G in LGBTQA is also for gamer, says someone whose tweet has been posted in the article. And yeah, it just continues with various thoughts and opinions of people on social media who were not pleased. It says at the very bottom, Pink News has approached Twitch for comment, but there doesn't seem to be any update to the article, and they've had months to do it, so I assume it never happened.
Wow, that just it's comically tone deaf, isn't it?
It is.
Like, it's just, I don't know. I have no idea why they thought that would be fine.
It's only funny because it's so ridiculous.
It's
so,
like, how did that ever get through any kind of approval process? Yeah. It's beyond me. It's, oh, goodness. How silly.
The T also stands for Twitch. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
The L stands for Lara Croft. Mm-hmm. And the B stands for... Oh boy, we're really offending all of our users here right now, aren't we? Wow.
The plus stands for Wii Motion Plus. Did you know that?
Yeah, it does.
The slightly dated one, but Nintendo paid a lot to get in there, so we've got to respect it.
Yeah.
Got to respect it.
Well done, Twitch, a couple of months ago.
Really good. Top-notch stuff. I can't believe we didn't see that at the time.
Yeah, me neither. I'm surprised that didn't make it to Weird News there and then, but yeah.
That's funny. Well, my weird news comes to us courtesy, and my voice is now going,
that's
courtesy
okay.
of Ian Too on, or Ian Toe on
Ian
Twitter.
As well. Oh.
Yeah, no, sadly, it's not two O's. Ian Toe. At
Ian
Toe Roberts on Twitter. Thank you very much.
I think that might be Ian Toe. I think it's a Welsh name.
You may well be right.
Yeah.
Sorry, Ian Toe. You have a wonderful name.
Hmm.
Right, this news comes from The Independent, not usually where we get our news from, especially gaming-related, and it was written by Louis Chilton.
Okay.
Or Lewis. I'm just getting all the names wrong. the title reads...
It's pronounced Chilton.
Oh, for God's sake.
I don't know.
It's The Independent.
Yes.
How a pet fish discovered a game-breaking glitch in Pokemon Sapphire.
Ah, okay.
So here we go. A previously unknown game-breaking glitch has been discovered in the decades-old video game Pokemon Sapphire by a pet fish belonging to a fan.
What?
And because this is The Independent, it does speak quite, shall we say, in simple terms, to begin with, about what video games even are. The game, part of the best-selling Pokemon RPG franchise, was first released in 2002 on the Game Boy Advance handheld consoles. Earlier this year, a Japanese Pokemon fan achieved viral fame by devising a means for his Siamese fighting fish, Maurice and Lala, to play the game. The streamer, known as Mutekimaru, I'm not sure, mapped out his fish tank so that when the fish entered a certain section of the tank, a button would be pressed in-game. The fish, through what can only be interpreted as sheer arbitrary luck, proved surprisingly successful gamers, even managing to beat two of the game's gym leaders.
Wow.
Oh, goodness me. I had to turn off Adblocker to view this page, and it is a mess. The formatting is all over the place. Footage, because I need to read a story about new virtual reality boots that solve the biggest problem for VR games, apparently.
Yeah, do it.
Footage of the fish playing the game has been streamed online, which is how people were able to witness the fish swim into a previously undiscovered glitch. While streaming on the 3rd of October...
Sorry, I thought you were about to say the fish were going to swim into a previously undiscovered part of their fish tank that the gamer had never seen before.
Oh my God.
This caused the game to break.
The game just couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
While streaming on the 3rd of October, the player fish was exploring Pokemon Sapphire's Sea Cavern area when it used the strength ability, which ought to have moved a boulder and cleared a path. Instead, it created a duplicate rock, which crashed the game.
Oh.
Mutekimaru, again, very sorry, later revisited the location himself and repeated the fish's movements exactly, which re-triggered the glitch.
Wow.
With no one in the comments or fan forums believing they had encountered the glitch before, credit has been given to the Siamese fighting fish.
Fantastic.
So the fish managed to do a move that crashed the game, and it's replicable. It's a glitch in Pokemon Sapphire that nobody found until this fish found it.
Until these fish swam around their tank.
Yeah.
Did some inputs. Wow.
Incredible.
I love Siamese fighting fish. I used to have one. They're very, very beautiful.
Do they fight?
They do, yeah. If you put two males in the same tank, they will kill each other.
Oh, cool. Well, that sounds like an afternoon.
Yeah.
I suppose. Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Yanto. Sorry again if that's how your name is pronounced.
Yeah, I think so. There was a Yanto on Torchwood. That's my point of reference.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That must be right.
Question three here comes from Friendly Lewis. Fortunately for me, it's spelled L-E-W-I-S, so it's probably not Louis.
Friendly Lewis.
Hey guys, are you the type of boys who immediately take your last-gen consoles to the dumping ground that is CEX or Game as soon as the next gen comes out, or do you keep the old for sentimental value? I personally keep all mine, as backwards compatibility is always a bit inconsistent. Thanks, guys. I have never got rid of a console yet. I got rid of my PS1. I think I gave it to someone, to like a friend, because my PS2 is 100% backwards compatible. But I still have my PS2. My 360 is still at my parents' place. I don't use it, but, you know, it's there if I wanted it. And I will be keeping my PS4, at least until I establish just how backwards compatible the PS5 is with PS4 games. If I know... If it seems like, you know, essentially every major important PS4 game is backwards compatible on with the PS5, then maybe I will get rid of it. But yeah, I only keep them really mainly for backwards compatibility reasons. I guess there's a little element of, you know, I do like to hold on to things for sentimental value, but you know, I feel like I would have held on to my PS1 if that had been the case. So, yeah, it's almost completely for backwards compatibility. So, yeah. Yeah, I think I'll be keeping mine for the foreseeable.
Nice.
How about you?
I have... excuse me. I can't remember what I actually did with my original PS1. I think it broke at some point. I dropped it onto a concrete floor accidentally while moving it from room to room. But I still have one. I think it's in our office at the moment, actually, on the shelves. I don't know if it works because I can't remember the last time I even used it. But yeah. I have that PS1. I did actually sell my PS2 to help pay for my PS3 pre-order.
Right.
And I had the original box and everything, and I got it all boxed up. I think I sold it for like £50 or something.
Oh, nice.
At the time. So it was pretty cheap. And I believe my younger brother's friend bought it from me. Because, you know, that PS3 was ridiculously expensive. And I needed it, apparently. So at that point, though, I wasn't actually playing my PS2 all that much. I sort of had a few games on PS2 that I just played endlessly. And I think it had been untouched for quite a while when I sold it. So it was no big loss to me, and I've never really, you know, missed it. I've had, I think, 3 PS3s now. I had my launch one, but that yellow lighted. I sent it away to Sony to get it fixed. They sent it back, and I think that one also gave up the friendly ghost after a while, at which point I bought a PS3 Slim. Which I still have today. My sister has my original 60GB PS3 model, which of course is the good one that can play PS2 and PS1 games. She has it on the condition that if she took it to one of those cheap fix places and got it fixed, she could just use it. So at some point I may reclaim that because, you know, it's good and it's quite rare now, that one.
I'd love to have one of those.
And what else is there? And it's got all the card slots on the front as well, of course, which is ridiculous. My launch PS4 served me very well until last year. I sold it to James.
Yes.
And used that money to buy the Spider-Man PS4 Pro I have because I'm a child and apparently I needed that. So no, I have no intentions to sell any of my stuff. And I think the only reason I sold my PS2 back then was just because I could, and someone wanted to buy it, and it would help me get the new thing. Yeah. And I wasn't really playing on it. So, I think I'm at that point now in my life where I can afford to hold on to these things because they matter to me.
Yeah. I think I've realized when I say I've still got my 360 in my parents' place, it's my second 360 because the first one, Red Ring of Death, to me, unfortunately, so I replaced it. But yeah, I still have a 360. Yeah.
Nice.
Do you think you would? I mean, I guess because you've got a pretty PlayStation 4, you know, maybe that alone is reason to keep it. But do you think if you still had a regular black one or, you know, whatever, like an original one, would you still want to keep hold of it for any reason? Like, you know, or if you say you discovered that all of the games you think you would ever want to play on PS4 are compatible on PS5, would you still want to keep it? Or
I think I would, if I still had it and it served literally no purpose, I'd probably either put it back in its box and put it away in a cupboard where it's safe, and then it's there and it's fine. I'd lend it to someone, you know, not give it or sell it, but I would lend it to someone. But most likely what's going to happen is that I move the PS4 into my bedroom and I just use it as a streaming device / something that I occasionally can play games on if I want to.
That's true. It might be worth keeping just as a streaming device. I'd not thought of that. Yeah, maybe I will keep mine.
They're far more useful consoles than they used to be. They used to be extremely basic, but now they're pretty darn convenient. I've used my PS3 for years as a bedroom device, you know, to play things and so on.
Yeah.
And stream things. And of course the PS3 was a fantastic little media hub as well. You could copy video files to it and music and photos and everything. So I've got loads of American Dad and Family Guy and Black Books and Firefly and some films on there just on the hard drive that I can watch, you know, whenever I want. So it's very useful in that sense as well.
Yeah. Well, it's time for something bigger than most.
No.
Yeah.
No.
We're going to discuss it, and it's larger than the average size.
Is it?
It's what we call the big discussion.
Big discussion. It's big discussion time. Welcome, everybody, to the big discussion. Hello. This time, the big discussion comes courtesy of Richard Major, who says, this console generation is basically over. Which games from this gen do you think will be seen as classics? Do you think we'll be playing any of these games as retro gamers in 20 to 25 years' time or more? I still play Sonic. It came out in 1991, which my calculator tells me is 29 years ago, marks. I think games now are too complicated and long for us to properly enjoy in a retro fashion in the future.
What do you think? I'm inclined to agree. I think there's sort of two different questions here. So I think, you know, which games from this gen do you think will be seen as classics? I think there's all kinds of things you could answer for that. I think classic is different to which games do you think we'll enjoy in a retro fashion. So, you know, classics will include, I don't know, Last of Us Part 2, God of War, Spider-Man, Uncharted 4, just to name some PS4 ones. But yeah, in terms of going back to play things in a retro style, I think it's very difficult to imagine playing anything that's too deep or complex or even too narrative heavy or cinematic in a retro sense. I don't know why. I think the problem is that the games that we enjoy in a retro sense today don't really have that kind of thing going for them just by their very nature, because that wasn't a big a common feature amongst games of the, say, the 90s. I mean, there was some stuff there, you know, MGS people still enjoy and things like that, but broadly speaking, you know, you're talking more about your platformers and your maybe some driving games and things like that. Maybe the odd RPG. I guess, you know, Final Fantasy and things like that, maybe. So maybe I'm not... That's not entirely the case. But either way, I think the moment anything gets a little too serious or... too narrative-heavy, like, do you really want to go back and play it in that sense? To me, like, playing something in a retro fashion is... kind of it's a cathartic thing and a comforting thing. You know, I do it for fun, and therefore I only really want to play things that are fairly whimsical and enjoyable, and of course things that have a nostalgic aspect to it. So I think you'd be missing, in a way, both of those aspects playing something from this generation. So I don't think there'd be as much nostalgia for something that you played as a grown adult versus something that you played as a child. So there's that. And then also, yeah, I think to an extent, games lack a certain element of whimsy nowadays or casualness. I think there are certainly a handful of games like that. But to me, all I can really ever see myself playing in a quote-unquote retro way would be the remasters that have been done this generation of games that come from the 90s. And, you know, games that I've not played, but I can also see people playing, things like maybe Mario Odyssey, Breath of the Wild, you know, and those games themselves are in some ways rooted in, you know, 90s gaming. But it's a very subjective thing. You know, my idea of what a retro game is comes from the fact that we grew up in sort of the late 90s, early noughties. And there'll be people who played games in the 80s or the 2010s listening who are more inclined to kind of have a different view of what retro gaming really is. So it's kind of a difficult thing to gauge. I don't think we'll really know until 2050.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head there in that nostalgia is subjective. Mm. So right now, 20-ish years removed from it releasing, you still want to play Spyro because you grew up with it and it holds up well. And the same thing goes for Richard in that he clearly grew up with Sonic and it's aged well and he still wants to play it today. The people who grow up with who are growing up with the games that are out now will probably want to play these games in 20 years' time.
Yeah.
It's not, we may not want to, but it's not, you know, it's not really the same situation. You know, everyone's going to be in a completely different area. It's because retro, what is considered retro, or what you play today that's considered retro, is likely based on your nostalgia. And as you said, you know, there were narrative heavy games in the 90s, and I think Final Fantasy VII is the prime example of one that I still want. I played it earlier this year, you know, after finishing Final Fantasy VII Remake. So I do think that there are games out today that will be enjoyed in a retro sense in 20, 30 years by the people who are growing up playing them, and maybe even by us. I have a strong suspicion that, you know, for exactly the same reason that people are very nostalgic about the Spider-Man 1 and 2 games on the PS1, people who... I imagine there are people who grew up with Spider-Man from 2018 and it absolutely blew their mind. And they, of course, will want to play that in 20 or so years. I agree that games are getting more complicated. And I find it very unlikely that most games that exist today as online games or live service games like Fortnite.
Yeah.
I find it very unlikely that A, they'll still be going. Or B, that they'll be playable at all. But if they are still going, they won't be there in the original nostalgic sense that people, you know, grew up playing them with, you know, or in. So if there are going to be retro games in the future, they're going to be, I would imagine, single player offline games. Because the online games, you're probably not going to be able to play them. So in that sense, I agree that there's a lot of stuff that's out today that people may well be nostalgic for in the future, but they just won't be able to play. But I do think that in 20 or 30 years' time, what we currently consider nostalgic and retro, it's just going to be the new normal. You know, that it's going to be different for the people who are growing up right now.
Yeah.
And Our nostalgia is going to be very different from their nostalgia just because the games industry has moved so far in that time. And they won't be able to play everything. But I do think there will be some things that you've mentioned there. You know, God of War, Spider-Man. I think Oxenfree and After Party and Undertale are emblematic of indie games that are very powerful that will still hold up. The likes of Bloodborne surely will be considered a classic of this generation going forwards. Dark Souls 3 and so on. People will probably want to look back at those in some fashion. I think it's less likely that annualized games will leave as much of an impact. People, of course, will have a preference about what their favorite Assassin's Creed game is, but I think it's unlikely that someone's going to dig out one of the 30 Assassin's Creed games by that point and think, I want the one from 2012. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But there, I do firmly believe that there will be a nostalgia for the games that are out today. They just might not be able to play all of them because servers.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I think whenever anyone grows up with is the thing that they love the most from a nostalgic point of view. Yeah, I guess it's difficult to really gauge what that is. So I think part of the reason why I've got this sense of, oh yeah, I don't think you get the same feel of nostalgia or retro gaming from playing something that's got too much about it. I think the only reason I think that is because around the time that my nostalgia kind of fades is when games started to get like that. It's like a correlation versus causation thing. Like, I don't think, you know, on reflection, I don't think the reason that I don't want to play, for example, Condemned Criminal Origins in a nostalgic sense, it's not because anything specific about that game is different to the games that I do want to enjoy, other than the fact that I was older when I played it, and you know, so it, yeah, the reason it's deemed nostalgic or not is nothing to do with the style of game. I guess it's to do with how old you were when you played it and your associations with the game, whether it came at a certain time in your life, you know, the kind of the what this game means to me X factor, I guess. So, yeah, I think you're right that games of this generation will be... There'll be a nostalgic element to them in years to come for those who grew up with them. But I do wonder whether people like us, you know, who are of a certain age, will still feel the same sort of way about them in 20 years' time as the youngsters do.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
Maybe not. There's very little on PS3, which is my favorite games console, that I feel nostalgic for.
Yeah.
And I know it may not have been long enough, but goodness me, you know, it's over 10 years now, practically, for most of them.
Yeah.
And there are games on there that I absolutely loved, but there are very few that I would... In fact, there's none that I would boot up my PS3 to play right now.
Yeah.
And that may change if Sony work out a way to make experiencing that console just a tiny bit easier, because it's such a messed up system that you can't play the games on anything else. But yeah, I don't know. It may not hold true for us, but it will certainly hold true for the people, I think, growing up now.
I think there are some, to be fair, I think there's a couple of games on 360 that I would still play, which is why I had to pull Condemned out of nowhere as an example, because I nearly said like Halo or Halo 3, which I played a lot of. And then I was like, oh, but I do actually, when I think of those games, there is nostalgic element, you know, in my head. But I mean, Halo 1, I guess, was very early. Well, that was original Xbox anyway. But so that was, you know, still around the same time as some of the games I've talked about. But yeah, even Halo 3 on 360, you know, I think I would like to play that in that way. So yeah, maybe just not enough time has passed, perhaps, for that generation to have as many games about it that we would like to go and revisit. But literally only time will tell.
Absolutely. We'll see when we're still doing the podcast in 2035. Ask us again.
Yeah.
And we'll find out. Well, there we go. That was everything. We've done it. We've made it to the end of the podcast. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. What did you think of the various things we discussed this week? Another very nostalgic, heavy episode. I do like these.
Yeah,
I like
me
talking
too.
About, you know, things of the past and not, oh, someone at Ubisoft has done another terrible thing. Oh,
yeah.
Tell us what you think about it. Oh, do I have to?
No,
I don't want
not.
To talk about this again. People are bad. But thank you everybody for submitting questions. And if you would like to get in touch with us or even support us to ask questions for this show, Peter's going to tell you where and how.
All of our content goes out on YouTube and Twitch. That's youtube.com and twitch.tv/TeamTripleJump, where we post videos and do streams. When we're streaming on both of those platforms, we are modded by Lord Brotovich, Cecil Prumps, Mad Stadactyl, and Trowling Badger. The social medias, twitter.com and facebook.com/TeamTripleJump. Luke Eldon looks after Facebook. Thank you, Luke. And we also have a Patreon that Ben mentioned at the start of the podcast, patreon.com/TeamTripleJump. Lots of rewards there. So many that I can't even list them all, but there's like exclusive merch. There is obviously the ability to ask questions on this podcast. There's a exclusive room in our Discord. And you can get to that Discord, exclusive room or otherwise, by going to bit.ly/TeamTripleJump. And the Discord is modded by Jack and Joe. The podcast, if you are watching on YouTube, is available in audio form at play.acast.com/s/TripleJump. The website is triplej.mup, that's tripleju.mp. We've got the store there, triplej.mup/shop. And we've got the VODs channel, triplej.mup/VODs, where all of our VODs are uploaded onto YouTube. Including weekly highlights, in fact. We now, thank you to Pat, who is editing weekly highlight packages of our VODs that are now going out on the VODs channel itself. So there you go, a little bit of new content for you.
Absolutely. If you don't have time to watch all the VODs, Pat has very kindly volunteered his services to put together a little weekly highlights montage. So if you want to go check that out, it should be posting on Mondays, and we'll highlight some fun bits from the previous week's streams. So there we go. Instagram and Twitter @ThatPeterAustin if you'd like to follow Peter, and just me just me and just Twitter for me at confused_dude. We do lists every Tuesday and Thursday, streams every Monday, Thursday and Friday. The joint stream, Blaze It, being on YouTube, and the Monday and Friday streams being solo streams on Twitch. Worst Games Ever is fortnightly Friday for patrons, Sunday for everyone else. The podcast is every Saturday, and we do shows one every other week. Leave us a review on iTunes or your platform of choice. It helps something to do with algorithms. This week is a Worst Games Ever week. It is technically our Halloween episode because it is the last episode of Worst Games Ever that goes out before the end of the month. So it's a little early, but hopefully you can forgive us.
Yeah.
It's a fun one. A really, really good one.
Yeah, spooky.
We've also got another playing every launch title video. This time it's the Dreamcast. Thank you to Sam from Cultaholic, who lent me a load of his Sega stuff because he was a Sega boy in the 90s. We've got, obviously, the stream highlights that's gone out on the channel. That went out earlier this week, so you can go watch that. And as I said, the new one will be out on Monday, hopefully. And contrary to last week's vague promises, there will be a ranked list, right, I think?
I'm glad that we were at least vague about it. So the reason we were vague last week is because I was just sort of thinking, you know, will it be done in time? It looks like it will be. So yeah, it's going to be up there. We uploaded it a couple of days in advance. But sadly, we got a copyright match with like a sort of 12 seconds of video. So we had to take down the entire hour long video because otherwise all of the revenue would have gone to Universal Studios. However, we have now re-uploaded a fixed version and it's been online for like 24 hours on the back end of YouTube. And I've just been looking and it's still monetized. So okay. Yes, this weekend, a new ranked list will be going out.
Is that Saturday or Sunday? I imagine Saturday, right? Because Worst Games Ever is Sunday?
Yes, it is Saturday. It's going to be out on Saturday.
So it'll be out later today. And, you know, the fact that Peter mentioned Universal Studios should hopefully clue you in about this, the sort of topic. But it's a really good one. Philip's outdone himself on the writing and Alex has outdone himself on the edit. So big thank you to everyone who pulled together to make this video happen. It's a good one. You should please go and watch it, please.
Check it out this evening, probably 6 p.m. I think it'll be going live on Saturday.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for listening/watching, everyone. Just a moment. Oh God, my brain's melting out of my ears. Just one more thing I need to do before we go from the podcast today.
Yes.
That is the ad read, isn't it?
It is, yes. Okay, would you like to read the ad?
Yes, I will. It's Plasmophobia. It's a brand new video game from the creators of Phasmophobia. There's a new detail I just invented. and it involves you all running around terrified at the thought of the fact that your body contains all that plasma and blood. And, it's spooky and frightening. Why?
Horrible.
Terrible stuff. Thank you so much, everybody. Just to let you all know, next week will probably be another regular podcast, and the following week, I believe, will it be posting on All Hallows Eve?
Oh, let's have a look-see.
Yes, it will.
Yes, it will.
So, no spooky questions for next week's podcast, but the following week, that is beginning the 26th of October, please ask spooky gaming questions away, and
how
they will be
exciting.
Included.
How exciting. So, I wonder how many people are going to say, what's the scariest game you've ever played?
Oh, it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
It is now.
Yeah, it will happen. Okay, all right. Bye, everybody. Look after yourselves. Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.